Today's reading is taken from John 1, verses 35 to 42. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means, when translated, is Peter. The word of God.
Have I ever told you guys about the time I broke into someone's house? What? Our pastor was picked up for a B&E? How did this not come up in her interview process? It was an accident, okay? And I was in middle school. I had been volunteering at a vacation Bible school, and there was a pool party after the week was over. And so when we were all done, I headed out with about a dozen other kids, and we went to the address we were given, 117 Pomeroy Street. It was within walking distance, and so we headed on over as soon as we were done. When we got there, the people who owned the house weren't there, but we had been told that they had to go pick up their child from a summer activity, and so we didn't think anything of it. We just let ourselves in through the gate and headed into the pool. We did think it was weird that they hadn't skimmed the pool. There were like leaves all over it. We thought, man, like, could have cleaned up a little, you know? But we grabbed the skimmer, we got things cleaned up, and then we jumped on in. So we were swimming, some of the kids went in the house to change or grab a snack or a drink from the fridge. We were just hanging out, having a great time. But after like 45 minutes, nobody else came, which we did think was weird. So I walked back to the school to say, "Hey, where's everybody?" There was no one there, except for one teacher on her way to the car. And so I said, "Hey, where is everyone?" She said, "They're at the pool party." "No, they're not. I just came from there. They never showed up. It's just me and like a dozen other kids." "They're at the pool party at 171 Pomeroy Street." "Yeah, that's where we are, 117. "Oh, no. We're at the wrong house." Whoever had given us the address had switched two numbers and happened to give us an address of someone else who also had a pool and whose gate was also open. So I ran back as fast as I could to tell people, "Get out of the pool! It's the wrong house!" We had the wrong address. And so although we thought we were all heading to the same place, we ended up at different houses. We had a miscommunication, and so we ended up at two different places, right? I think it's sometimes like that in the church too, okay? We think we're all doing the same thing, right? We're all just following Jesus. We're all on the same page, right? But I bet if I asked every person in this room, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Give me your definition of a disciple of Jesus. I bet we'd come up with as many different definitions as there are people in this room, right? The way we think about what a disciple of Jesus is, what it means to follow Jesus, is going to inform what we focus on as Christians. So that's why I think it's important that we have clarity as a community on what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be a Christian, so that we can all together know where we're going as one, so we can travel together even if we're on slightly different, we're in different places on this journey of following Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about over the next 8 weeks. The next 8 weeks, we're going to spend doing a deep dive into what it means to follow Jesus. We're going to talk about how to create rhythms, both as individuals and as a community, that enable us to follow Jesus together. We're going to be utilizing the material written by Pastor John Mark Comer, Practicing the Way, as we go through this together. That's the curriculum that all the journey groups are going to be doing. Each week, most of the journey groups are going to be watching a short video and just learning different practices for followers of Jesus. You'll have time to talk about your journey with Jesus, where you are, where you hope it goes. If you are not in a group yet, please consider joining one. Sherry, wave your hand at us, Sherry. Sherry's right there. Sherry would love to help you find a journey group, okay? Go see Sherry after service and find a journey group. Listen, you can absolutely follow Jesus by yourself. But my goodness, does growth in Christ happen best in community? If you've never even been in a group before, maybe just join one for these 8 weeks to see how it goes. If you want to just even like taste for the first time a journey group, David's group, David, wave your hand at us. This is David. Everyone say hi to David. David's group meets like right after service. So if you want to even just try, like check it out one time, go see David. You can go to his group after service. You need community. We need community. So, okay, there's my commercial. Join a journey group. It's not too late. Today, we're going to start this 8-week series by considering a model for discipleship, and what that model means for our following of Jesus, and what that model, what that way of practicing faith will lead to. So our passage today opened with John the Baptist and some of his followers. John 1:35, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. In the first century, in terms of religious education, There were rabbis and there were disciples. Rabbis are the teachers, okay? Rabbis were older men who had studied the Word of God. They'd memorized the entire Bible. They spent years training to teach it, talking about how to apply it. That was a rabbi. There were rabbis and then there were disciples. Disciples were a small group of specially selected men who would spend a ton of time with their rabbi. They would learn from them. They would become like them until the rabbi thought, you know what? I think you're ready. You go make your own disciples now. So in this passage, John is clearly in the role of the rabbi, and he has at least two disciples here. Now, Pastor John Mark Comer suggests that maybe a more helpful, familiar word for modern audiences might be the word apprentice. So an apprentice is someone who spends time learning from someone in order to be able to do what their teacher does, right? So it's the doctor in residence with an older, more experienced doctor, the young mechanic working alongside an older, more experienced mechanic. The goal of apprenticeship is that the apprentice ends up able to do what their teacher does, right? So the goal of an apprentice isn't just to learn a lot about medicine, right? It's not just to learn a lot about cars. The goal is that the doctor's apprentice can practice medicine, can heal people, right? The goal of the mechanic's apprentice is not just that they know a lot about cars, but that they can fix people's cars. So John Mark Comer says, in the same way, the goal of being an apprentice of Jesus is not just to know a lot about Jesus, but to become like Jesus, to do what Jesus did. one of the issues for us in Western Christianity particularly is that we have so much information available to us, so much information about what the world was like in the first century and how to read Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic that the Bible was written in. And there's like a billion Bible studies of every shape and size. There's so much information we can learn about the Bible, so much information we can learn about Jesus that sometimes I think we unconsciously start to equate Christian maturity with biblical knowledge. We sometimes equate knowing a lot about the Bible with becoming a mature follower of Jesus. But if we look at what it means to be a follower of Jesus as being an apprentice of Jesus, we see that knowing a lot about the Bible is not the same thing as being a faithful follower of Jesus. Because an apprentice does what their teacher does. Apprentices are people who spend time with their teacher, who become like their teacher, who do what their teacher does. You can learn a lot of information about Jesus. You can know all about biblical history. You can learn to read the Bible in the original Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. You can even memorize the whole Bible. But if your life is not changed to become more like Jesus, if you are not growing in humility and compassion, if you are not submitting more and more to God's will for your life, if you are not acting more and more in love, you are not growing as an apprentice of Jesus. So being apprentices of Jesus, that's how we're going to think about growing as followers of Jesus, being apprentices to Jesus. We're going to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did. That is where we're heading as a church, okay? That is what we all need to put into our GPSs, okay? The Holy Spirit might take you on a different route, okay? He might take me the scenic route because he knows I love the fall trees. He might take you away past some really cool architecture that you'll love. Maybe some of you got started on your journey before I did. Maybe some of you will take the long way and some of you will take a more direct route. But where we're all heading together is to be apprentices of Jesus. Got it? Okay. To be an apprentice of Jesus is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do as Jesus did. Be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do as Jesus did. We kind of see this in this passage, an apprentice becoming like their teacher. When he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher. See, John's writing to Greek people who might not know what the Hebrew word rabbi means. That's why there's several times in this passage where John, the writer of the book, is like, "Oh, this word means that," because they're Hebrew words and he's writing to Greek people. So, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he, Jesus, was staying and spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. First of all, this is not the point of the sermon, but it is remarkable to me to watch what John the Baptist does here. He is so concerned with people knowing Jesus that he is happy to see his disciples, people that he has poured into, spent time with, taught. He is happy to send them along to Jesus. He doesn't want more people following him. His goal is that people would recognize Jesus and follow him. Anyhow, that's a sermon for a whole nother day, but it's beautiful, and that speaks to our role as followers of Jesus too. But you'll see that the first thing these disciples did, the first thing these apprentices did was they went to go be with Jesus. They spent the day with him. That was the normal practice. That's what disciples, apprentices did. It would have been crazy to say you were a disciple of a particular rabbi than to say, "Oh yeah, I go to his Monday night group for an hour a week." That's not a disciple. Disciples live with their rabbi. They were together 24/7. They had to be. That's how they had time for conversation, time to ask deep questions, time to see how their rabbi acted in a variety of situations. Their goal was to become an imitation of their rabbi. And they can't imitate their rabbi by only seeing them a few minutes at a time. So to be an apprentice of Jesus requires us to be with him. And again, there's a distinction. To be with Jesus is not the same thing as just learning about Jesus, right? John had been telling his disciples about who Jesus was, but what they really needed was to go be with Jesus. That I know that seems so simple, maybe semantics, but I don't want you to miss this, right? If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you need to spend time with him. You need to spend time in prayer, spend time reading the Bible, spend time listening to him. In fact, that's the first practice we're going to learn as a church community. If you're in a journey group this week, you'll talk about it. If not, let me tell you what it is. This week, we're going to work together on developing a daily time with Jesus. If you've never done this before, or maybe you've done this for 30 years, I'm going to invite you this week, take a step. Take some sort of step forward in your daily time with Jesus. There's no right or wrong way to do your daily prayer rhythm. There's not. I'm going to give you a few quick tips to get you started, if you've never done this before, on having a daily rhythm of prayer. First, find a quiet time. Find a quiet time. The right time is going to be different for everybody. I know some of you all are crazy and get up at like 5 a.m. to do your quiet time, and I really admire you. I think you're more spiritual than me, but it's just not how I roll. Some people, though, first thing in the morning is the right time for that. It's when it's quiet. For some people, it's going to be over the lunch hour. Some people, it's going to be right before bed. If you have little kids at home, maybe the best time is when they're napping. The important thing, though, is to figure out what time of day can you be likely to be able to be quiet and still. So first, find a quiet time. Second, find a place that's distraction-free. Maybe it's just a chair in your living room. Maybe like my friend Laurel, who lives with her husband, her daughter, and her two grandsons, you go to your camper in the driveway because no one else is in there. Find a place that's quiet, that will become your regular quiet place to sit without distraction, to just be with God. Third, take a minute to quiet yourself internally as you get started. I like to just take a few deep breaths. To me, man, breathing is magical. I'd like to take a few deep breaths, and it helps me just center myself, release all the other things I'm worrying about. Just take a few deep breaths to quiet my heart and to ask God to help me clear away distractions and help me hear his voice. And then finally, when you are calmed and quiet, open yourself to prayer with God. There's no right or wrong way to pray. You can write with a journal to do your prayers. I do that because I get distracted really easily. You could use a prayer book. I've used lots of prayer books over the years. Sometimes it's helpful just to pray a prayer someone else has already written. There's tons of great morning prayers, evening prayers out there. Sometimes I'll just sit cross-legged on the floor and talk to God and tell him about my day. Be like, God, you know, this thing happened and I'm really stressed about it. And I just talk to him like he's sitting right there in the room. You could also pray through the Psalms. The book of Psalms, man, it has been used for thousands of years by the people of God to pray. On the back of your outlines, you'll see this procedure is on there. And there's a few Psalms listed if you're looking for a Psalm to try to pray through a Psalm. The important thing is just to spend time with God. When you spend time regularly with Jesus, you can be changed to be like him. Listen, becoming like Jesus is not something you just like try hard to do. It's something that happens to you. It's something God does to you through the Holy Spirit as you put yourself over and over again in his presence. As you read about what God cares about when you read the Bible, as you read the Gospels that tell the story of what Jesus did and said, but it all starts with spending time with Jesus. Right? Who we spend time with is who we become like. I see this with John the Baptist. He was a rabbi who knew his job was to point people to Jesus. When his disciples stopped following him and went to follow Jesus, he was happy about that. He had been getting them ready for Jesus, getting them ready to follow Jesus. And we see that John the Baptist's disciples learned the same thing from him. Because the first thing Andrew did after meeting Jesus was to go tell someone else, "Hey, I found Jesus. I found the Messiah. Come with me." That's what happens in verses 40 and 4 through 42. Andrew was one of John the Baptist's disciples and was Simon Peter's brother. He was one of the two that heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. John the Baptist's disciples, his apprentices, became like him. John wanted his disciples to recognize Jesus and follow him. So his disciples learned that the most important thing was that people would recognize Jesus and follow him. It's really, really important that we recognize that we become like who we follow. We become like who we spend time with. This is really important for two reasons. The first is, right, as we see with Andrew, we become like who we follow. That's the goal of following someone, the goal of apprenticing someone. The second reason we need to be aware of who we're following is that we can't actually follow more than one teacher. As Jesus is going to say elsewhere in the Gospels, you can't serve God and money. He's saying you can't have more than one ultimate loyalty. John's disciples stopped following him and went with Jesus. They didn't try and follow both of those rabbis. Listen, if we spend 3 minutes a day with Jesus and 3 hours on social media, who are we really being formed by? Who's forming us? Who are we actually apprenticing? Is it Jesus or is it maybe Facebook? Honestly. Is it Jesus or is it just our online echo chamber? Is it Jesus or is it the cable news program that runs all day long in our home? If we can quote all the lyrics to our favorite song and nothing from Sermon on the Mount, we have to ask a question. What are we really being formed by? And I say this, friends, as someone on the journey with you. We have to take stock. What are we really being formed by? Where are we spending our time, our attention? It's important to know who we're really following, what apprenticeship program we are actually participating in, because we're going to become like who we're following. This is good news if we're following Jesus. Because the assertion of all the writers of the Gospels is that apprenticing Jesus is the best thing you could ever do. Because following Jesus leads to life. To life. This is what John, the writer of this Gospel, says right at the very beginning as he's just getting started writing this account of the life of Jesus. He says about Jesus, "In him was life." In Jesus is life. And that life was the light of all mankind. John is saying the way of Jesus is the way to life. The way of Jesus leads to light. John's purpose in writing his whole account of the life of Jesus, his biography of Jesus, is to convince his readers that Jesus is the best possible person to become an apprentice of. Because the way of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, it leads to life. It leads to life. So John's inviting us to consider, is the way we're going leading to life? As we consider, who are we truly following? Who are we truly apprenticing? To consider, what is that leading to? What are the outcomes in our lives? He's inviting us to judge our teacher by the outcome of our life. Because the truth is, we are all apprenticing someone or something. We are all being taught by someone or something. We are all being formed by someone or something. And I would guess many of us in the room would say that we're being formed primarily by Jesus. But if we're truly apprenticing Jesus, then we're changing to become more like him. So the question is for us, is what we are consuming, is what we are allowing to form us, making us more like Jesus? Or is it not? Are we becoming like Jesus, more humble? Or are we becoming more and more convinced that we have all the answers? Are you becoming more and more compassionate? Or more and more convinced that when people suffer, they've brought it on themselves? Are we becoming more and more concerned for those outside the church? Or more and more concerned with just staying comfortable in this awesome little cozy community we've built here? Are we becoming more and more willing to do whatever God wants us to do, whatever it costs us? Or are we more and more concerned with our own comfort and security and pleasure? And listen, obviously, we are all on a journey. Friends, we're all on a journey. I struggle with every one of those questions. There are days when I just want to cling to what is right and call everyone else wrong. There are days for me when it is easier to blame people who are suffering than to sit down and grieve with them. There are days when it is easier to just enjoy this amazing community we have here than it is to go outside my comfort zone and invite someone else in. Days, I just want to do what feels good instead of what I know Jesus is asking me. But I'm on a journey. We're all on a journey. And my hope is that in 1 year, in 5 years, I can say that I've made progress toward becoming more like Jesus. And I'm slowly, over time, becoming a little more compassionate, a little more loving, a little more humble. Because if I'm truly following Jesus, if I'm truly an apprentice of Jesus, if that's really what I put in my GPS every morning, then I'll be formed by him. And so I won't be able to help but become more like him. I won't be able to help but do more of what he does. In John 1, as John the Baptist's disciples begin to follow Jesus, Jesus turns and asks these two disciples a question. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want? What do you want?" I think Jesus is still asking us that question, asking our community that question, asking each of us that question. What do you want? See, Jesus is not a teacher that will demand to be followed. He will happily invite everyone who wants him to be his apprentice. Unlike those rabbis then who only took the cream of the crop, Jesus wants all of us. He invites all of us in to learn from him, to apprentice to him. But he's not going to force us. So as we journey together through this season, as the world around us is going to keep shouting loudly about what we should care about and how we should act and how we should feel, Jesus is still asking each of us, what do you want? What do you want? Do you really truly want the life offered in the way of Jesus? So is what we really want to follow Jesus? Not just to say, oh, I'm a Christian, I go to church on Sundays, but to truly become apprentices to Jesus, to spend time with him, to be changed by him, to do what he does. Is that really what we want? That's the invitation for us as a community. What do we want? And for some of us, this might be a line in the sand moment. Maybe we recognize that honestly, we've been apprentices to something other than Jesus. We've been maybe formed by voices that tell us to just prioritize our own individual sense of self-fulfillment. More money, more career advancement. Maybe we've been chasing after that perfect relationship, and we believed the gospel of relationships, that once we have that relationship, we'll be happy. But maybe we've found that pursuing these things, self-fulfillment, money, career, relationships, maybe we've found that there's not actually life that way. It's not actually leading us to life. And so maybe some of us this morning are searching for a better way. And maybe today is that some of us need to tell Jesus, I want a way that leads to life. I want to follow you. Or maybe some of us have been sort of peripherally involved in church for a long time. We show up, we go through the motions, but if we're honest, we're not really apprentices of Jesus. We're not really being formed by Jesus. Jesus and the church are just sort of a nice addition to an already beautiful week. And maybe today's the day we need to say, Jesus, I don't want to just show up on Sundays. I want to follow you. I want to really, truly follow you. I want to be formed by you, spend time with you, become like you. I want to learn to care about what you care about. I don't want to just sing songs and play church on Sundays. I want you 24/7 to be the Lord of my life. Or maybe some of us have been following Jesus for a long time, but we realize that if we're honest, recently other things have been becoming our teacher. Other voices have been who we've really truly been apprenticing ourselves to. And maybe we're recognizing that the fruit of what we've been listening to and consuming is actually more fear, more suspicion, more pride, more self-focus. And we're realizing that it's just time for us to reorient, recalculate, turn ourselves back toward Jesus, because we've wandered from our true focus in life. And so maybe today, some of us need to, here's a churchy word, repent. Listen, that word's not like a mean, scary word. Repent literally just means to change directions. Just means change directions. There's no shame in needing to repent, to change directions. We're human. We all get lost sometimes. We all take a wrong turn. God's not mad at us when we get lost. He's just waiting for us to change directions. And he's saying, I'm over here, back over this way. He's like the little voice, recomputing, recalculating. Today is a chance for us as a community to draw a line in the sand and say, yes, we want to all head the same direction together after Jesus. We want to ask Jesus to truly be our teacher, and more than just our teacher, our savior. To help us do what we can't do on our own. We need him to help us be more like him, to do the things that he did, so that we will truly experience life that is really life. So I want to invite you to just take some time. The band's going to come back up. We're going to sing a song. And I want to just invite you to consider where you are right now in your journey with Jesus. Where are you? Where do you want to be? Tell Jesus about it. Tell Jesus about it. And then come and receive from his table. His body, his blood, they remind us that there is forgiveness free for all, salvation free for all. It's available. Life is available to anybody who wants it. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And during the song, whenever you're ready, you come forward and say, I want you, Jesus. Let me pray. Jesus, we want to follow you. We want you to truly be the center of who we are as a people, as individuals, as a community. And God, we recognize that it is so easy for us to take a wrong turn, to start following another voice that's louder, to start following our own selfishness, our own comfort, our own security. But we know that with you is life, with you is joy, with you is true peace, regardless of circumstances. You are the way, and we want to follow. And you love us. You lovingly are calling each of us closer to you. And so will you this morning help us hear your voice of love? Your voice doesn't shame. Your voice is a voice of love. Help us hear your voice of love calling us closer to you so we can follow you. Amen.